today I get to catch up with past apprentice Ellie Williams, who finished her apprenticeship just over 6 months ago at Golly Slater, and unfortunately got offered a job at Golly Slater and is still working with Golly. So hi, Ellie.
Hi, nice to hear from you.
And you. I mean, it's been, we haven't seen each other really since the end of last year, have we?
I know, it's gone so fast.
It does. Life just passes you by, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I didn't realise until we just caught up 2 minutes ago, but I'd forgotten, or I just thought you'd had a year's contract with Golly, but you reminded me that it was a permanent job, wasn't it?
Yeah. Very lucky to have gotten that, definitely. I had no idea till the end as well, so it was a nice surprise.
Yeah, because you know what? Permanent jobs just aren't heard of these days.
I know, especially in this industry as well, so I was quite shocked, actually.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, when you said, I nearly fell off my seat because, as you said, in this industry, it's just nowhere to be found. And I think that security, though, especially in the times we're living in at the moment with, you know, with money and stuff, it's just nice to know where you are, even if it's just for a couple of years, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially at this early stage as well. It's usually quite, you know, intense. So it's quite nice to have that stability, as you said.
Definitely. I wanted to take you back to, I wanted to know where you were when you decided on an apprenticeship, how you heard about it, and I'm in a way, why Golly Slater?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was quite the journey. I knew I wanted to do an apprenticeship even in school. But in my school, it wasn't kind of advocated. They really wanted everyone to go to uni. It was quite an academic school. So I kind of was like, oh, I'll explore both options. And even from, I think, the age of like 16, I'd been applying to like apprenticeships and anything in the industry I could possibly do, any training, because I knew I wanted to work in this kind of media industry.
You tend to think media, people automatically think maybe BBC, ITV, independent television. So where did you come to find out about the media side of Golly Slater?
Well, I'd signed up to loads of different newsletters. I think it was the Screen Alliance Wales one that I saw. And I knew I'd wanted to work in production, I did a few runner jobs, and that kind of like called out to me. And I saw it posted on the Screen Alliance Wales newsletter, and it was a production apprenticeship, but in a marketing agency. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. I know nothing about that, but it just intrigued me from the job description. So I was like, I'll apply, you know, not expecting to hear anything back, but and then I got offered an interview. So then I went away and did loads of research, obviously, on, you know, the whole industry. But even going into the job, I didn't really know what to expect. But it's been so much fun, actually.
Your interview, I'm just thinking, we were just coming out of COVID, really, weren't we? I'm thinking it was, what, the end of 2021, your interview, maybe?
Yes, I think so. I remember it was quite a chaotic interview because it was obviously online because of COVID.
Right.
But I remember it there being like a really bad storm. So it kept cutting out in the middle of the interview. My Wi-Fi kept cutting out. So I honestly didn't think I'd gotten the job because it went so wrong because of the Wi-Fi. So I was really surprised when I'd got offered it.
Oh my God. So had you left school by the time you were having this interview?
Yes, I'd left that September, and then in those few months in between, I'd managed to actually get a few different runner jobs.
Brilliant.
So I worked as a runner for a few TV productions, and then I got the interview. I think it was December time or late that year, and then we started the apprenticeship in January, then the end of January.
So in a way, those runner's job had given you a taste for the industry, maybe?
Yeah, definitely a taste of, you know, the how fast-paced everything is and how the teams kind of work. But it was very different to actually being in a production for an agency, you know.
Yeah. Towards the end of your schooling then, I'm presuming you did your GCSEs and A-levels.
Yes, yeah, I did.
Yeah, and how much sort of pressure did you have off the school maybe to apply for university?
Lots. I had lots of pressure, especially because all my friends were applying as well. And I kind of, felt pressured to follow that path. And I did actually apply to uni. I applied to five different unis. Do film and TV production. And I got offered places there, but I kind of hadn't spoken to my family. They were like, why don't you just take a year, you know, postpone it for a year and see if you can get an apprenticeship, because I knew how competitive it was to try and get one. So they were like, try and get as much experience and or an apprenticeship in that year and then use uni as like a backup if, you know, if it doesn't work out. But I'm so glad I went with that option, because I wouldn't have been where I am now.
Sounds like you had a lot of support from your family, and a lot of they sounded like they were very open to anything that you fancied, really, you know, not closing the door on an apprenticeship or a university course, or, you know, that's good to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm really lucky in that sense, because I can see why some of the, you know, parents would push uni so hard, because, you know, that's what schools push. But my parents, they were open for me to do anything. They just wanted me to be happy, which I'm very lucky.
Fantastic. So you saw the job offer for an apprentice at Golly Slater. So you obviously did research before you went in for the interview. So tell us a little bit about Golly Slater, because obviously we've all heard of Golly, but possibly people don't know what you do there.
Yeah, so I think it's one of the biggest advertising agencies in Wales. We've got different offices across the country, but Cardiff is their biggest office. Cardiff, we do all the kind of like advertising. So we have a lot of public sector clients, like Transport for Wales, Welsh Government is one of our main ones. And then we've got several branches within Welsh Government. We cover loads of things, and we make all kinds of different adverts, radio adverts, TV, out of home, which is like billboards and posters and that kind of thing, loads of social media campaigns. So as part of my job in production, I kind of help bring all these to life and organise all the shoots and the records to, bring together the creative ideas and get the adverts out, really.
Busy company.
Yes. And it's growing. Even in the year that I did the apprenticeship, it's we've had so many new people join. It's constantly growing and evolving, which is quite exciting to be around, really.
Yeah, what sort of size are we looking at in Cardiff, maybe? How many people are working at Golly?
I think in the Cardiff office around 80 people.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's just the Cardiff. We have Cirencester and Leeds as well.
Good gosh. Okay. Well, yeah, because I have actually been into your office, and where are all those people hiding? Because I've never seen anybody there.
it's hybrid working, that's it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, even though we were sort of on our way out of COVID when you started your apprenticeship, how much did it affect you when, because you started in January 22, didn't you, at Golly Slater?
Yeah.
So did that interfere in a way with your apprenticeship? Were you asked to work from home at all in the week, or were you at the office? Tell me a little bit about the beginning of your apprenticeship.
I mean, I'm quite lucky when I actually started at Golly's, because I could go into the office if I wanted to. And when I first started, I went into the office all the time to try and get to know everyone. Same with shoots. We were still able to shoot things, even though the restrictions were quite strict. You know, we had to do some COVID risk assessments, and, you know, masks were still being worn, that kind of thing. But I was lucky that a lot of it was in person, even from the beginning. So, and obviously it just got better throughout the time. So I was quite lucky in that sense.
Great, yeah, that's good, because I know even to date today that some apprentices' teams at certain companies, they're only in like twice a week. You know, and I think people find it hard to get to know people possibly on team meetings or Zoom meetings, you know?
Oh, I can completely understand that. Yeah, when I first started, I was, yeah, really keen to go in all the time, because getting to know someone via, you know, Zoom or Teams is very difficult.
Yeah, definitely. So when you joined as a production apprentice, what sort of a team did you join? Was it a large team or a small team of people?
No, it's actually a really small team within the Cardiff office. It was just me, the production coordinator, and our line manager, who was kind of like the production manager. But right. Literally, like, I'd say 3 or 4 months in, that our line manager left. So it was just me and the production coordinator, and that was it. So it was just the two of us doing everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I was kind of thrown in the deep end in that aspect, but I'm kind of glad, because yeah. I got to do more things and take on more responsibility, you know.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the jobs you did as an apprentice.
Yeah, so when I first started out, obviously I was just being chained up in everything. But gradually got to kind of be involved in more things. So we do lots of VOs, voiceovers. So I was heavily involved in booking all of them and getting, you know, all the scripts sorted, and did script clearances and got to attend the actual voiceovers as well. And they were all bilingual. So that was really cool to get to know kind of local VO talent, that, you know, bilingual talent as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah, how do you, you're not a Welsh speaker, are you, Ellie?
No, unfortunately.
No, how did you, if you said that there was bilingualism coming in all the time, are you picking up any Welsh?
Yeah, kind of. I pick up a kind of few words and phrases here and there, being around it all the time. And loads of the team are Welsh speaking as well. So, yeah,
okay.
Around it all the time, you can't help but pick some stuff up.
Yeah, I know, I bet. So I know you organise a lot of shoots. I know you worked a lot with children as well, didn't you? Because you had to deal with licences and things like that.
Yeah, it's something I didn't really expect to get the opportunity to work with children. But yeah, we did a few campaigns, especially like children-based, for like We Care Wales, kind of trying to recruit carers throughout Wales. So that was... we did a whole campaign where children were playing hide and seek, trying to look for carers, which was really cute. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got to learn about the whole side of child licensing and, you know, all the rules and regulations to work with children. It's a whole different ball game, and I didn't realise how much work goes into it. But it was, yeah, something unexpected that I got to learn about. So that was quite exciting.
Yeah, I worked on a children's quiz, teenage quiz, a sports quiz. And you had to have these child performance licenses for every competitor.
Oh, wow.
I think I went to bed thinking about these licenses. They're all from different areas of Wales. So I was dealing with different LEAs. And oh my God, it's the minefield, isn't it?
Yeah, that must have taken forever.
Oh my God, it did. And then I don't know if it's the same, but at the time you had to get doctor's notes for each of them as well.
Oh wow, just another thing to add
yeah.
on.
Just another thing, just to make sure that they were fit and healthy. And oh my God, it all took forever. So I sympathise with you having to work with that, because they do say, don't they, never work with animals and kids.
Yeah. I'm glad I did though. It was quite an interesting experience.
Definitely. And it's something that, you know, in production, you have to have these licences. You have to know the hours that children can work. You know, vetting chaperones. Were the children with chaperones?
Yeah, yeah. We had chaperones with us, yeah.
Yeah, it's all a different sort of, it's got a sector within itself, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I had no idea before starting how kind of strict everything has to be as well, even, you know, before and on the day of shooting, and even afterwards, you know, making sure the children are all right once the campaign has gone live, you know. So there's just so much to think about that I never really realised. So it's quite, yeah. Fun to yeah. look at that kind of side of things.
Definitely. No, I remember you telling me over the year when you were with as an apprentice with Golly that you had to organise a lot of locations as well, didn't you?
Yeah, it was quite nice because we were such a small team. We kind of got to do loads of different aspects of production that I may not have otherwise got to do. So we've done like locations, casting, wardrobe, props. Got to work across all of those. So yeah, locations is an interesting one because we got to research and then try and actually get the permits for different locations. So that was quite nice.
I imagine because you were such a small team as well, you had to deal with budgets and the costs of stuff. And
yeah, budgets, scheduling, basically every aspect. That was another interesting thing to learn, budgets, because you, especially having not worked in this industry before, I didn't really know how much things actually cost, and I was very shocked to find out, the different costs for things. And the scale of budgets needed for different campaigns and that kind of thing. So that was, another really interesting aspect to learn about.
Yeah, and I bet you had a time where you were trying to beg, steal or borrow or get a location for like 50p because there was just nothing left in the budget.
Yeah, definitely. I've learned how to sweet talk people into giving us things for either very cheap or free.
I know. I've been there, done that. It's like, oh God, I got no money left.
Yeah. I never thought I'd have to negotiate as much in this job, but you really do. You need to be a good negotiator.
I know. Tell me about casting and stuff. Did you have to deal with any sort of agencies or?
Yeah. So we got to kind of know local agencies and even agencies over in England as well, different casting agencies, and they send shortlists through, and in our production team we kind of take a look at the shortlists first and kind of narrow them down before showing them to the creative team and the creative directors. So that was quite cool to kind of have a say in who gets put forward and look through the shortlists and really be involved in that casting process.
So yeah, I bet.
That's something I really enjoy, actually. Yeah,
I had a bit of a shock last week. I was driving behind a Cardiff bus, and my sister's partner, who's an actor, is fronting one of your campaigns.
Oh really? Which campaign is it?
Well, his name is Kellan. He's an actor. And it looked like it was maybe Save a Life Wales or Save a Life Cymru.
Oh, Save a Life Cymru, yes, yeah.
Because he's a Welsh-speaking actor. He's got dark hair, spiky dark hair.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's Kellan. He's could be my future brother-in-law. And then I realised it was one of the campaigns, I think, that you worked on or was happening during your time as an apprentice,
That's a small world. Yeah, we did Save a Life Cymru.
Yes. So the weirdest thing was I was on my way to Golly to see an apprentice that's presently with Golly, which was very strange. But
weird how that all panned out.
I know. I was telling Arwen who I was going to see. I said, the freakiest thing has just happened. And she went, oh, my God. But it was great because I know he's a local Cardiff actor. It's nice to keep it sort of local as well, isn't it? Not having to go to London to cast and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, anytime, we have like a spoken campaign, radio or TV, basically all the work we do is bilingual. So we do use local talent because they need to speak Welsh and English and obviously have a Welsh accent as well. So, yeah, that's quite nice because you kind of get to know local talent and local agencies as well and like, kind of build that working relationship over the year. So that was quite nice.
Yeah, cool. Tell me about some of the clients or some of the campaigns for who are you doing them for? You mentioned Save a Life Cymru, but you did quite a bit on Transport for Wales, didn't you, as well?
Yeah, we do lots for Transport for Wales, actually. We did one recently, which was really exciting to be involved with, actually, because it was quite different for Transport for Wales. They had a campaign called No Second Chances, and it was basically it was like a safety campaign, a safety awareness campaign, because they're putting in electric kind of railway tracks over the valleys.
Yes, I've noticed.
Yeah, I think it's like up to like 50,000 volts or something like that. But they wanted to kind of make people aware in the local area, you know, you can't walk on the tracks, even if it's like a quicker way to school, because this electricity will just fry you, and it jumps as well. So it's this safety campaign, and the whole idea of it was to set up online and pop-up shop of all these like burnt clothes, and it's like inspired by Depop and Vinted, like selling secondhand clothes. They're saying these clothes get a second chance, but the person didn't.
So were the clothes sort of like torn and burnt?
Yeah, so we got it was quite fun because we involved in, you know, sourcing all of it. So we had sourced a load of secondhand clothes, and then we went to a actual like costume stylist, and she would like rip them up and actually burn aspects of it, and like, you know, put colouring on them and everything like that. And then we did a photo shoot with the clothes, and then we burnt loads more and actually set up a pop-up shop in St. David's with all of these clothes, and had like GoPros filming people's reactions, and we had schools from come in, and like we did talks in the shop, and it was like, it was a really different project to work on, because usually we like, you know, shoot a TV campaign and, you know, it goes just on TV, whereas we actually set up a whole store, had it all designed, had all the clothes burnt. It was really interesting to work on.
Wow. And what was the effect? Did anyone sort of catch up with the school kids after to find if it had been, well, if it had gotten to think about it, you know?
Yeah, well, we did interviews with the school kids on the day of their reactions, and also interviews with the public. So we're currently in the works of making like a behind the scenes video of everything that went on that day, I think, which the client are going to use. I don't think we've been back in contact with the kids yet, but we got their reactions on the day, and yeah, they were really shocked by it. It was quite a shocking campaign to look at, you know, and being in the store as well, like, because the clothes were so burnt, you could see, smell it, you know. It was very like,
I suppose you've got to keep thinking, at Golly, you've got to keep thinking of new ways, different ways to sort of advertise, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, instead of just doing your usual, you know, TV campaign or, you know, a radio advert, it was a different way of getting the message across, and I guess going to the audience directly, because they wanted to focus on school kids, really. That are in the area where the lines are being put in. So it was quite nice to literally go directly to that audience to make sure they get the message. So yeah, it was a real different way of doing it. So.
Yeah, correct. You know, it is a message that needs to get out there, because I you see constantly, not just kids, people crossing railway tracks, don't you?
Yeah, I think it was fine before, but with these, well, not fine, it was still very dangerous, but it's just added even more dangerous now because of these electricity lines, because it just, even if you're near it, the electricity jumps, and then there's no getting away from it.
So tell me a little bit about towards the end of your apprenticeship. So I know that you were really, you were sort of, you had a month to go, didn't you, last Christmas?
Yes, yeah, I think I ended it in January, yeah.
What were your feelings? I mean, were you given any sort of idea that possibly there might be a job for you at the end of your apprenticeship, or?
Yeah, well, I was kind of asking around, and people in different teams, they were like, oh, you'll end up staying. And I was like, oh, I don't know, I haven't heard anything. Mm. And then, yeah, my manager sat down and said, we'd like to offer you a job afterwards. So I was like, so excited. but I didn't know, like, whether it was permanent. I didn't know, like, any of the details of it, literally until, like, the end of January. So I didn't know until like the very end of the apprenticeship.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was like the time was going down before the contract ended, and I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
That's very unfair, really, because I mean, you know, because you're probably on the search for other things as well, because you just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I was like, I knew I'd kind of, they were offering me it, but I didn't know any of the details, so I was a bit, yeah, and not unsure, but like a bit nervous for it, but yeah, it all worked out in the end.
Oh, fantastic. And then, so you got offered your contract, and then you found out it was permanent, which is excellent news. How much of a change, I'm hoping that your wage went up.
Yes, yeah, it did.
Thank
yeah.
God. It all helps, doesn't it? It all helps.
Yeah, definitely.
But regarding your job, so what is your job title now?
So the actual title is Creative Services Assistant, but it's right. Basically a production assistant is what I'm doing.
And how different is it compared to what you were doing during your apprenticeship?
I mean, the actual kind of day-to-day jobs are the same, yeah. But I'd say since becoming permanent, I've been given a lot more responsibility, whereas before I'd work on different projects, you know, with other people in my team. Now I'm kind of getting projects to just take away and do by myself, which is quite exciting, you know, being trusted with a whole, you know, photography shoot or and I do all the voiceovers now by myself, so yeah, it's quite fun.
No, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
And regarding being in the office, do you tend to sort of go in a couple of times a week? How does that work with everybody now?
Yeah, it's hybrid working, so we can go in when we want. But I try to go in at least twice a week, if not more, yeah. Just because I like seeing everyone. And it's just more collaborative, you know, when you're with people in person. So, yeah.
Yeah. So what are the projects that you're working on at the moment? Are you allowed to divulge or are they top secret?
No. I don't know if it's top secret or not. I'm working on two photography projects, about, I don't know, four or five voiceovers, and then there's a TV campaign in the works as well. So that's
wow. Okay. And how are you doing your voiceovers? I remember you telling me when you were an apprentice that the voiceovers were done over Zoom.
Yeah, it's weird. This kind of going back to how it was before and doing it in person. Yeah. But still, I think people like the convenience of Zoom and just dialing in and listening to the voiceover and giving their opinion via that. So I think we have our creative director and Welsh copywriter go in person. But if a client wants to join, they'll still join via Zoom. So yeah, it's kind of a mix of both now, really.
Yeah, I think it's hard to sort of, because I'd never used Zoom before COVID. But, you know, as soon as you get onto it and understand it and see what it can do, it's quite amazing, really, isn't it? Because you still get the results, so to speak.
Yeah, it's weird. And you kind of expect people to go back to how it was before, but they don't really. They kind of just get used to it. So, yeah, we're still using both.
I think it saves a lot of time as well, doesn't it?
Definitely travel time as well. Trying to get down to the studio and fit everyone in, you know, the little booth. It's quite easier to just dial in and dial out again. And then, you know, you can always work in the background as well if you're just listening in. So I think for convenience, people still use it.
And the cost implications, I suppose, for you as a company, if you were bringing down voiceover, say you had, I don't know, a North Walian or something's actor coming down, it's the expense can get expensive, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with the voiceover artists, we still, you know, get them in a professional studio, but in terms of like who's actually attending the voiceover from our side, mm-hmm. That can vary whether it's in person or via Zoom. So, yeah.
Yeah. And regarding you logistically wise, I remember during your apprenticeship, you were living in Rogerston and just outside Newport. Have you been tempted to come and move into Cardiff, or is it still working well for you, travelling in and out?
I'd love to come and live in Cardiff, but you know, cost of living, I don't know
I
whether I
know.
could or not. I think, yeah, I definitely save more being in Newport and just traveling in, but I would love to move to Cardiff. I think it would be a lot easier than getting the trains in.
But you are right, because I just sold my house and we're looking to rent for a while because we don't know where we want to go. And the prices of renting at the moment, it's just ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, even if you share with other people, it's still crazy. And you know, our offices are literally central Cardiff, bang in the central. So if I were to try and get a place even near there, it would just, yeah, it's a bit
Yeah.
unachievable at the minute, but I don't
No,
know.
no. Now, if you can cope with it, I would stick to where you are and just keep saving, you know?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the
But
plan.
the last thing, I just wanted to ask you overall, you know, how you feel about your apprenticeship and going forwards, suggesting to other people that an apprenticeship maybe is a good way of getting into this industry.
Oh, it's an amazing way of getting into the industry. I think, you know, especially in, you know, media, TV, film, advertising, what people value the most is experience and, you know, and also knowing people as well. And if you don't have either of that, an apprenticeship is the way to go. You know, you can do a degree, but you know, loads of people do degrees and you kind of all learn the same thing without really getting as much practical experience as an apprenticeship. And I mean, when I worked as a runner in those few months before getting an apprenticeship, I was working with postgraduates who were like in their 20s and I was only 18. And we were doing the same job, you know, and they had a degree and I didn't. So I think experience is so valued. So if you can get an apprenticeship, definitely go for it. I know it's quite competitive, but I think it's worth it, you know.
I no disrespect to these with a degree, but they probably had a large, you know, debt to carry
Yeah,
around as well.
exactly. I mean, like uni is definitely one way of getting in. Like I'm not saying you know it's not going to work, but I think an apprenticeship is just, yeah, you get so much experience and you get paid to learn as well, like, and you come away and you don't have any debt and you potentially could have a job afterwards. So yeah, I don't see the downside of it really.
No, I'm no, totally agree with you. Well, listen, thank you for catching up with me today. I know you're really busy. I know you're doing this in your lunch hour. But yeah, I'm really pleased for you, and I'm really happy that you got offered that job and that you're continuing there and good luck with everything.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being my mentor as well throughout the whole friendship when I've got through it otherwise.